Okay, Mac, I gotta do it.
Yes.
This is so stupid.
Go for it.
But this is how we're gonna do this, okay?
Okay.
Finally, the greatest mixtape podcast is back. That was so dumb, right? That was so fucking stupid.
Are you cutting a promo?
I wish, dude. I wish.
That's my second guess.
So for our non-wrestling friends out there, we're going to talk about wrestling today.
Rock and wrestling.
We have a couple of friends in the industry, but one in particular that when we decided to cover this topic, one name immediately came to mind.
One name.
And we decided we couldn't get Triple H. So... So our next best opportunity was a good friend of the show. He's been a friend of mine for, we actually recently realized that this year in 2025, we are going to be friends for 36 years. How fucking old we are.
Oh my God.
Our guest today is the two-time EWA Tag Team Champion. He is the GWM Tag Team Champion, NCW Tag Team Champion, three-time NECW Tag Team Champion, NECW Television Champion, PvP Champion, and three-time PvP Tag Team Champion. He is also a member of the 2018 class of the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Mac, we have a Hall of Famer on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, please welcome Mr. Johnny Idol.
What is up, guys?
The egomaniac.
The egomaniac, that's right. You've had Johnny Idol has always been the basis of your identity, but you've had the egomaniac in there.
Yeah.
Did you play with the name a little bit?
So I first started out as a manager. A friend of mine who was in the business, he didn't like who he was getting stuck with as a manager, and he had me come in and he wanted me to be his manager for him. So I had to like train a little bit. And I was DJing the day of my first show. I didn't have a name yet. And I pulled Vital Idol, the Billy Idol CD out of. And I'm like, well, that's it. And I was the, for years, when I was the irresistible Johnny Idol.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And then I was in a tag team called the Egomaniacs for years, and then when my partner Mike, Mike Steele, got hurt, and they just had me be the egomaniac Johnny Idol. That was it.
As I mentioned, we've known each other for a very long time, preceding your career in the ring.
Much.
And we were in a band together. Actually, that's how we met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a million years ago. Yeah. We played in a band together. That band lasted, what, like 15 minutes, I think, and fell apart.
Something like
and
that.
And then we moved on to another band. And you know, over the years, we always kept in touch and everything. But I do have one quick story that I do want to tell, and it pertains to those days. And I should have known this particular day that you would end up in the ring.
Uh-oh.
So we used to rehearse at a machine shop.
Yep.
It was our bass player's grandfather owned this machine shop. And we kept our gear there and we would just show up and we would set everything up and then we'd practice for a few hours and we'd break everything down. It was a giant pain in the ass.
Up into the attic, yeah.
Up into the attic. But it was a free space. Mm. So we dealt with it. This one particular night, we're all hanging out and our bass player, Todd, he didn't have the key to the shop. And the key was locked in his mom's house, which was next door, but his mom wasn't home. So you've got a bunch of dirtbag, degenerate, long-haired idiots hanging out, just killing time. And our friend Aaron was there, who also went on to be a wrestler with you.
Yeah.
And somehow it turned into a WrestleMania type event. We were like pretending to beat the shit out of each other along this like main road. And all these cars are driving by. And like, I remember like Aaron was on the ground at one time. We're all like pretending to put boots to him and shit. And then we got done having our fun and whatever. And all of a sudden, like five state police troopers come ripping into the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we're all up against cars. I don't know if any of us got cuffed, but we were definitely being searched. And
yeah, I remember they searched us and they're like we have reports of you guys kicking the crap out of somebody. And I go, and I pointed at Aaron. I go, he's right there. That's him. That's the guy. He's right there. He's fine. And all right, guys. You know.
The reason that sticks out in my mind, it was one, because it was really funny, but also like I should have known then. Like I'm like, these dudes should be fucking wrestlers, man. You guys were so good even then.
Thanks,
you know?
Man. Thanks, man. Yeah, he started before me. He started before me, and then I came in right after him. I mean, he went in the Hall of Fame same year as me. Same year. So which is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty cool.
That's awesome. So me and Mac have been talking about, you know, this topic for a while now. It's been getting kicked around for a minute. We finally decided we needed to do this.
I love it.
And again, that's why we brought you on. We don't really know Triple H. So we decided you are the perfect person to bring on as well, because not only are you a wrestler, you're a musician. So you can talk about wrestling. You can talk about music. You're just the perfect guest for this.
Thanks,
so,
man. Oh, I'm a fan, course, by the way. I love the podcast. I'm such a fan.
I appreciate it.
I've been listening. I've been waiting for, like, in the shout outs. I'm waiting for Mac to go, and Beckett, Massachusetts. That's me. That's me. Well, and I got a shout out from you too about the Ramones concert. I landed on my head at the Ramones show. Yeah,
I was just about to say, we did shout you out. Yeah. The Ramones story I told about my friend who tried to crowd surf and crashed and burned.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Well, Mac, you wanna set it up?
Yeah. I mean, you talked about the connection between rock and wrestling, especially for some of us of a certain generation. You know, we grew up in the 80s watching wrestling and, you know, going all the way back to WrestleMania 1 with Cyndi Lauper and, you know, that whole thing. That I saw the whole rock and wrestling connection started. Captain Lou Albano, you know, showing up in her video for Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and that whole connection through there.
I remember a bunch of people were like, is that Captain Lou's not her real dad?
And no. Why does he have rubber bands hanging out of his face?
Because he's a maniac.
And it was also an interesting time, too, just because that was before individual sort of theme songs came along,
right.
and wrestlers were walking out to established music.
So you
were talking about WrestleMania. It actually goes back a little farther for me. Like where I grew up in Western Massachusetts, the only thing we had, I started watching in the late 70s, actually. The only thing we had was WWWF at the time, and then it became WWF. That's all we had. Well, let's say it was like 1980. I'm going to say it was like 81 or 82, and I came home from school, and I turned on the TV, and I'm flipping through, and I came across World Class Championship Wrestling. Do you know anything about World Class at all?
Yeah.
No.
I remember the name, sure.
Okay. That's where, like, the Von Erichs were and the Freebirds and all that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So if you go to YouTube right now and put in, or later on tonight, put in, like, WWWF, Madison Square Garden, 1982, right? Put that in. And then put in World Class Championship Wrestling, 1982. It's not even close to the same thing. Like, WWF had, like, the one camera far away, and they'd be walking out to no music, and they'd be like, oh, here comes Captain Lou Albano, you know, whatever, and no music. Well, I click it on, and now here's World Class, and the Von Erichs, they're like rock stars. They're coming down, like, through the crowd, like a Kerry Von Erich. He came out to Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer.
Modern Day Warrior, right? And then Kevin Von Erich came out to Stranglehold by Ted Nugent. I was obsessed, like, trying to figure out what that song was for the longest time. And the cameras are right on top of the ring, and they beat the crap out of each other. Like, the cameras are on the ring apron. And the way I heard it described, it was the Von Erichs. It was like being in a friendly fight when you're in a match with them. So it was like a whole other world. And that's where, like, the rock and wrestling started, was in World Class, actually.
That's amazing, dude.
And you mentioned the Freebirds, too, because didn't they came out to Skynyrd?
Freebird. Yeah, Skynyrd.
Yeah, Freebird. Yeah. Before Bad Street USA.
Yeah.
During that time, was there anything more terrifying than the Road Warriors walking out to Iron Man?
Oh, no. You know what else was pretty good was the Samoan SWAT team coming out to the Halloween theme.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty good, yeah.
And hey, I got to shout out the Junkyard Dog, too, coming out to Another One Bites the Dust.
Right.
That was one of my favorites.
Yep. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
There were some questionable ones in World Class, though. Like, Rick Rude came out to Smooth Operator by, you know, Sade. Like, there's some odd ones. I don't know.
If wrestling has taught us anything over the decades, is that not every idea is a good idea. I think if we've taken anything away from
I know it. Don't I know that? If I could,
put that on my tombstone.
I don't think we can't get out of the 80s without mentioning Hulk Hogan coming out to Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, of course.
first.
Yeah.
And he's had many over the years.
But then after that, he did Rick Derringer, Real American. Rick Derringer just died two days ago.
Oh, right, I know, dude.
And he did Real American. It was Real American, the Hulk Hogan song.
But Hogan also went with Voodoo Child.
That's right.
That was the Hollywood Hulk Hogan days, right?
NWO.
Yeah. And can I say, worst air guitar I've ever seen in my life. When Hogan would come out and pretend to play the guitar, and I was like, oh,
hands
my
down.
I'm not a guitar player, and I'm like, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty
bad.
Don't
do that anymore.
He is a bass player. He is a bass player. So
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly not a guitar player.
Well, according to him, Lars Ulrich wanted him to play in Metallica.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine, even if he was like Les Claypool, he's this giant bald doofus like on stage.
In his yellow cowboy boots. In Metallica.
That would be so bad, dude.
In Metallica,
so
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, as long as we're talking about Hogan and we're up in the 90s now, I mean, Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Walk by Pantera. Like, yeah.
Now, I have info about that, too.
Ooh, let's hear it.
I watched an interview with Paul Heyman when they had ECW, and I remember when I first saw ECW, I'm like, how are they getting away with this? Like, the Sandman coming out to Enter Sandman, and
yeah.
The Blue World Order, they did a thing that was Kiss, so they came out to Rock and Roll All Night. How'd they do that for free? Okay, so,
yeah.
But, you know, so turns out, that if you don't have it in the mix, in the sound mix, and it's just like
it's just on the PA.
It's like in the background instead of being like for like you hear on TV now. It's all like so they could do it. They didn't have to pay if they did it that way. So that's how they did it.
I could spend hours researching this shit, and John would still come in and just like fucking school me on all this trivia, dude. I love it.
Again, there's no reason I should know these things.
But I mean, if we're just can continue on here with like great entrance music, you got to talk. We already mentioned Triple H, so we got to talk a little bit about The Game by Motorhead.
Oh yeah. I mean, what were the WrestleManias he came out to them? Do you know what they were?
They were WrestleMania 17 and 21.
Did you see he spoke at Lemmy's funeral? Did you see that?
Yeah.
And he just described what it was like to walk out on stage. There's 75,000 people there, whatever, and Motorhead is playing your theme music right next to you. Like, how do you beat that? That's awesome.
That's goosebump shit, dude.
That's awesome. I just wanted to bounce back just a little bit. Do you guys remember the movie Body Slam? Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was 1986 movie with, who's the guy from the A-Team there?
Mr. T?
No. The Face, that one.
Oh, Dirk Benedict?
Yeah, that's the guy.
We're at the Great Pole, Eric.
Wow. Whoa. Gee, I dug deep for that shit, dude. That's it. I just peaked. For
good
the
night,
rest
everybody.
Of the night, I'm just going to be a drooling idiot.
Thanks for having me. Good night. We'll see you. And like that, and it was a big rock and wrestling movie. He managed a band, and he started managing wrestlers, and it was Roddy Piper.
This does sound familiar, dude. Yeah.
It was Roddy Piper, Sam Fatu, and the Wild Samoans were in it, Captain Lou Albano, they were all in it. So that the whole movie was rock and wrestling. And if I had a dollar for every time I had some guy who's never run a show before tell me he's going to do a rock and wrestling show, I'd have like $8, but
I have to mention Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Yes.
CM Punk.
Yes. That's so. Yes. And again, they played with him at WrestleMania, right? Right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
A couple times. Yeah.
So
a couple
awesome.
Times.
I love getting to see that because at least, you know, these people, they've been around forever. They're getting a massive payday for this thing. And who knows how many more people are like aware of them because of that.
And they are one of those bands, and I use this term, but I don't use it lightly, criminally underrated.
That crowd pops when you hear that riff.
Oh, yeah.
Cult of Personality. I mean, good Lord.
That's what I love about wrestlers' intro music. The song itself almost becomes as iconic as, you know, the wrestlers. I mean, dude, look, you hear before a wrestler comes out, the fucking crowd loses their shit because Stone Cold's coming out. You know what's going to happen. Yep. So, you know, those particular just little, I mean, the first note of Living Color, the crowd goes nuts because they know CM Punk's coming. So, yeah, you're right. It elevates the band and puts them in front of a crowd that maybe wouldn't be familiar with them.
Right.
It's wild to watch from an outsider's perspective, you know?
What year was it? Snoop Dogg came out with Sasha Banks. Yes. Like music, Sasha Banks, yeah.
Yeah, that was a WrestleMania maybe 2-3 years ago.
Maybe, yeah. They're cousins.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No shit.
There's video out there of her managing me. She was my manager for a little while. And, you know,
shut the fuck up.
There's actually video out there of like her and like three wrestlers were in the same stable and we're cutting a promo. The only person who didn't get to cut a promo is the one who main evented WrestleMania just a couple years later.
What a weird, incestuous world, dude. I mean, it's like the music industry. I mean, the parallels are just, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. You know how, like, you ever, like, do you ever, like, play a show with somebody who's probably a little more established than you?
And no, they, never. Fair. Almost every show in my life. Yeah, but. Yeah.
But they were kind of, you know, they kind of treated you like you were, like, less than, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's wrestling, too. That happens in wrestling too. It's even worse when it's just another indie guy, another guy in independence, and he's walking around like he's the rock star of the locker room. And I'm like, dude, you're on the same show as me. I don't know what you're. Yeah. Why you know? I don't know why you think you're better than anybody. So,
yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's the parallels are unbelievable. The politicking, the backstabbing, and the but you just gotta. Just do your thing, man. Just be solid. Do your thing.
You do it for the love of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. Being a drummer and in bands over the years, dude, I've lost so much money. Mm-hmm. Like, I certainly did not come out ahead in that department. You know, it puts a strain on you know your personal life, relationships, mm-hmm. like everything.
Yeah.
But you do it because you just love it so much. You know.
Yeah.
The 45 minutes on stage makes all the bullshit that precedes it worth it, you know, and I'm sure it's the same in the ring, dude. You're 10, 15 minutes, whatever in the ring, dude. It just makes all the bullshit so worth it.
I mean, I don't want to try to get like too dark about it, but I, you know, people are like, how'd you wrestle so long? And I remember, you know, a while ago I had to wrestle as much as I could because I,
how many years were you?
23.
That's so great.
And there was a time, you know, I had a huge tragedy in my life 17 years ago, and I was like so depressed. I would just go wrestle as much as I could because for those 8 to 12 minutes, the only thing that I could think about was what was going on in there, you know? So it was very therapeutic and it was awesome.
All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw you a bunch of random rock star artist appearances or performances, and then I want to see if you remember these.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, please.
WrestleMania 2.
Okay.
Ozzy Osbourne accompanying the British Bulldogs.
Awesome. I saw that at closed circuit TV in Springfield Civic Center. They had like a big screen who's sitting there watching. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Ozzy had on like the pink suit he was wearing. He had like a pink.
Yeah. And I'm not sure he knew where he was. If you look at him, he had this kind of like glazed look on his face. I'm not sure
that
he
was
really.
Pretty much Ozzy throughout the entire 80s. In a pink suit. Clearly he didn't know what the fuck was going on. He would never have agreed to that.
I could see Sharon. Ozzy, wear this.
You look great.
Do you know who the musical guest was on WrestleMania 1? There was one musical guest. There was
Liberace.
and he didn't even play. He did the can-can with the Rockettes.
Right. Oh, let's go back to the Ozzy appearance.
Yeah.
So he accompanies the British Bulldogs to the ring. Who did they face that night?
I'm going to guess the Hart Foundation.
No, it was the dream team of Greg the Hammer Valentine and Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I swear to God, I was about to say Greg Valentine, but I'm like, no, it wasn't Rhythm and Blues. That was later. That wasn't. Oh, I should have said it. Damn it.
All right. Oh, my God.
Do you remember this one?
Yes.
Alice Cooper managing Jake the Snake Roberts at WrestleMania 3.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes.
What WrestleMania was that? Which one was that?
That was 3. Yeah. It's a honky-tonk man. So this week, I'm like, there's got to be footage of Alice and Jake like cutting a promo. So I go onto YouTube and I find one. It's Alice Cooper, Jake the Snake, and of course Damien the Snake.
Of course. Sure.
And they're sitting, it looks like they're like in someone's basement. Like it looks like they're being held hostage. Like it's a hostage video. Like it So they're cutting this promo on a honky tonk man. And then this is 1986. And Alice Cooper goes, "Hey honky tonk man, you ever heard of the band Megadeth? Well, you're going to know what that feels like at WrestleMania 3. And I was like, well, he's name-checking Megadeth in 86?
Like, my God, dude.
What?
That's amazing.
'86. So what album was what did Megadeth have out at that time in '86?
I mean, it had to be P Cells, right?
It had to be P Cells.
Yeah, just came out.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
God.
Well, yeah, and what? Killing Is My Business was out, right? Yeah,
that was our first album, but that did nothing for them in terms of commercial success. Right. So yeah, it had to be
Megadeth
right after that drop.
Cooper breaks out of Megadeth.
Great.
Wow, that's great.
I'm watching his promo and I'm like, what?
Dave Mustaine must have lost his shit. Oh my God. Fucking Alice Cooper just said our band name. That's great.
I don't think we can get through this without mentioning in the late 90s in WCW, the Kiss Demon. We can't leave that. You remember the Kiss Demon?
Of course. Yeah.
It was Dale Torborg. They painted up just like Gene Simmons. I just looked that up. I think I read that Kiss got, just to play those couple of songs, they got like $500,000 to come in and play a couple of songs. But what did they get paid for the licensing of the Demon? That didn't last long. That's crazy.
And what was his entrance music? Was it like
God of Thunder?
God of Thunder? Okay, that's what I thought. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a perfect song.
That's what they played. I think that's what they were playing when they debuted him. And it was pretty cool if you think about it. Like, this thing opened up and there's this huge guy dressed up like Gene Simmons. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Fantastic.
What about the Misfits?
Okay, listen, I saw you wrote that. Okay, listen, I got a problem. Okay. No, listen, okay. I put them in like the same place as like the Insane Clown Posse. You know, they got like.
Careful.
No. I'm not.
I'll hear you out. I'm just saying. Tread lightly.
I'm just saying that like the Insane Clown Posse, they gave. Jerry and Doyle, right, from the Misfits, right? They gave them like a day's worth of wrestling training and just gave them matches on TV. And it just looked bad. It just looks, people already think that the thing that we do is stupid. You know what I mean? They already think it's so fake. And then you put them in there and it really does look fake. Yeah. It just kind of bugged me. I don't have that big of a problem. I'm still fine with the band and all. I couldn't watch it. And then ICP did the same thing.
Well, I was borderline offended because I thought maybe you were going to compare them musically, and I was like, don't you fucking dare.
We'll never do that. Careful. Hey, we got to talk about CeeLo. When was the CeeLo appearance on wrestling? Do you know when that was?
Oh, I defer to you, Mac.
I do not.
I have a note here. Hold on. Look at me.
He brought notes, too. Jesus.
Oh. By notes, I mean screenshots.
Our Hall of Famer is prepared, bro.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
It had nothing to do with my work, I promise you. 2011, SummerSlam 2011, CeeLo, he sang Forget You and Bright Lights, Bigger City. That was the theme song for SummerSlam that year. And he was wearing like this sparkly muumuu. Fantastic. You got to watch it. It's awesome.
Dude, wait. Did you say 2011?
I did, yeah.
That song is that old already?
I don't want to talk about it.
I did say earlier we've been friends for 36 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of fucking little piece of me died when I said
it's pretty wild, right?
2011, though.
I think you said 37.
Was it
36? No, it was 36. It was 36.
So. Oh, it is. That's right. That's right.
Oh,
it is 36.
Okay.
Good.
WWE also had, it was WWF still at the time, Man Mountain Rock. It was a guy that came out and played guitars. Big, huge guy. And he played guitar. He had a WWF guitar and he would play. You don't remember that? Yeah. Didn't last long.
I don't.
Didn't last long. He had another gimmick in WCW. He tagged with Cactus Jack. What was his gimmick there? I don't remember. But yeah, it was weird. Man Mountain Rock.
Dude, seriously, if wrestling trivia was like science, you'd work for fucking NASA, dude. Like, it's so ridiculous. Dude, I think I know a fair amount about wrestling history and whatever, and you're just dropping shit that I've never heard in my life, dude.
Bro, my buddy Doc and my friend Adam, you'll be like, oh, SummerSlam 93. Oh, that was the one where the main event was this and such had blah 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 and they worked in the I have no idea how they do it. I don't know. I have no clue.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, yeah.
We've talked about this one on the show before, Eric, because it blew us away.
Yeah.
Nita Strauss, who we love so much.
Oh.
WrestleMania 34 with Shinsuke Nakamura's
entrance. That's right.
To me, I think that's right. I think the two best ones ever would be Triple H and Motorhead and Nita Strauss and Shinsuke Nakamura. That was so badass. That was just so cool. I'm like, and she was just ripping, you know? He's like Slinky, you know what I mean? And she's like kind of the same thing, and it was awesome. So badass. Badass. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. One of my favorites of all time.
I remember I saw the first time I saw his entrance. I hadn't seen him on, didn't see him on TV. It just popped up on YouTube or something, and it just showed his entrance. I said, "Oh, okay, things are, something is about to change here." You know, that's yeah. unbelievable entrance. Yeah, I love it.
And of course, we had another one of Eric, our favorites, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Yeah. WrestleMania 35, Bad Reputation with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Love it. Fantastic. Yeah. I love Joan. I how many times do you think you've seen Joan Jett?
We've talked about this on the show.
Yeah.
I honestly don't have a number for you. I would have to go back and really, really think about it. But she may be the artist I've seen the most live. That's a really distinct possibility because I've gone to see her on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, see Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And then there's been a million other times where she's on this, like, festival bill, and I get to see her. It's like a bonus. I didn't go to see Joan Jett, but, like,
and you know, she's there.
We go to see the Foo Fighters. You know, Chris is a huge Foo Fighters fan. We go to see Foo Fighters. Oh, Joan Jett's on the bill. So it's a bonus for me.
Oh, I love it.
I may have seen her more than any other band in the world, dude. She just kills every time, dude.
Always.
And I hope she plays for another 30 fucking years, man. Yeah. She could be out there in her 90s, and I just still will eat it up, dude. She's so great.
I got to be at about 10 or 12 times I've seen her. Yeah, she's so great. Yeah. Mac, how about Mac, you see her? Have you ever seen her?
I saw her at that WrestleMania 35.
Oh, you were there?
No shit.
Oh. I was there, dude.
Now, I remember when Ronda Rousey first came out, and that was her song. That was, first of all, it was like perfect song for her. That is the absolute perfect entrance song for her. And the second, I was like, cool, more people are getting turned on to Joan Jett. You know, somebody's going to look that up. So absolutely, very, very cool. Yeah.
And one of my favorite bands of all time, Rancid. They were at AEW Double or Nothing 2022. Performing Ruby Soho for
Ruby Soho.
Yeah.
Again, I've watched a total of probably negative 14 minutes of AEW, but
well, there goes that sponsorship. I guess.
I just keep forgetting to watch it for some weird reason. Anyway, I was a big Ruby Soho. What was she? Ruby Riott in WWE, right? Is that her name?
Yeah.
I thought she was so good. She's a very, very good worker. She's fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, man, those are the ones I wanted to throw at you. I don't know if you got any more you brought with you that you want to talk about.
Well, yeah, I brought the two. I brought Snoop and I brought CeeLo. That's all I got. Because when we first started talking about this, I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about that one. And when you sent me that text message, I'm like, perfect. I don't have to do anything. It's right there.
Well, I have one question for you. And it's a little off brand for us. We talked about this a little bit before we actually hit record tonight, but we don't normally bag on things in the show. We try to keep it positive. Mm-hmm. We talk about stuff we love, the stuff we hate, we just kind of don't talk about. But I have one that I'm very passionate about.
Okay.
Ooh. When it comes to intro songs, entrance music, what's your least favorite? I gotta know, because I got one in the chamber ready to go.
Like, are we talking about like WWE written songs for like a superstar kind of thing, right?
I mean,
or does it matter?
All of the above, but
I hate to say it, but probably Big Show.
Okay.
Where's
the Big Show? I mean, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
And then, it's the Big Show.
Yeah. And
it's still the next big line show. Is
it's the Big Show.
Yep. Wait, what's yours? What do you got?
I mean, I'm going to get so much shit for this.
Oh.
Because he's a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. He's all of those things. I have always, 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 from the day I heard it for the first time, I've always hated Shawn Michaels' fucking intro song.
Oh, really?
It is the worst piece of shit intro music I've ever heard in my life. And again, the gloves are off because we don't normally do this on the show. But good God, even just thinking about it while we're talking, I'm irritated right now. I'm angry because that song sucks so bad.
All right, well, I have a little trivia for that song, actually.
Lay it on me. of course you do.
Well, there was a guy, what's the guy's name? James... I can't remember. James Johnston, I think, was his name. He does all the music for WWE. But it was he and Jimmy Bell wrote played a bunch of music. By the way, Jimmy Bell.
No shit.
Yeah, he went down there and played a bunch of. I'm like, who's in entrance? He goes, I don't know. I just went and played it and went home. I don't know. I got paid.
For those of you who don't know, Jimmy Bell is a legend in the New England music scene. amazing, amazing guitar player. Was
played
in
with Geezer Butler.
Yeah, played with Geezer Butler. He was the Joan Jett movie with Michael J. Fox. Light of Day.
Light of Day. Yeah,
he was
day,
in
yeah.
that. He was Joan Jett's. Yeah. Yeah, the Huns. That's right. God. So anyway, I didn't realize he played on some of that stuff.
Oh, a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it. Anyway, Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South. Jimmy Hart wrote that with the guy there at WWE. So Jimmy Hart. So I because Jimmy Hart is honestly one of the nicest people I ever met in my life.
That's great.
I got to work with him one night. He was our manager in Enfield one night, which was, imagine that. I'm coming out with Jimmy Hart as my manager. Pretty wild. But he was so cool. So I can't hate the song. I hated it then, but I can't hate it now. He's too nice. He's just too nice.
Well, again, if that song was for anybody that was a lower card type guy, it would be even worse. But Shawn Michaels gets a pass, dude.
Especially then, he was the man.
But man, I've always hated that song.
Can't blame you. I can't blame you. But I think it's Sherry in the beginning. Shawn, right in the beginning, right. How about you, Mac? Do you have a least favorite entrance?
Oh, good question.
Honestly, I can't think of anything now. Because all I have is the Big Show's theme in my head.
You're welcome.
Everything is just clouded up, and it's just that's all I hear.
That's fucking great.
Oh, I get it. How about a favorite? Do you have a favorite? Is there one that you would hear that would fire you up? And to me, my all time favorite entrance music was Kevin Von Erich's Stranglehold. That doesn't count. But I think the one, of course, the glass breaking for Austin is always the one, right?
Oh,
I
mean,
that's
my God.
That's the best
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You have to go with that one.
Yeah, it's just sudden, and it's great, yeah.
Right.
So, since we're talking about great, entrance songs, John, you had some pretty fucking good ones over the years.
Yeah, I guess.
What did you used to come out to, man? I remember, but I want to hear you tell it, because I want to know why as well. Why'd you pick those songs? There's two that I can remember.
Well, for when I was in the tag team, when I was in the Egomaniacs, and if you think about the song, it's perfect, especially for a heel tag team. It's great. We came out to that song 2 by Blur.
Yeah.
So we, of course, there'd be a ding, 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 ding. That intro, and then it would come through right when that woohoo kicked. Pretty great.
That's great. Yeah, that's a good one.
Then I was, when I wrestled under a mask, I came out to... there's a song in an instrumental. I was supposed to be a luchador, the only luchador that didn't leave his feet ever. I couldn't jump over. I couldn't jump over a toolbox, but I'm a luchador, And but there's an instrumental on the From Dusk Till Dawn soundtrack from Tito and Tarantula. I can't remember what it's called, but there's that for a while.
Okay.
And then I came out to, it was I Want You to Want Me, Cheap Trick for a long time.
Yep.
It was that for a long time. And then I came out to Hot Lava by Perry Farrell from the South Park.
Okay. Yeah. That was one that I distinctly remember.
Yeah. I love that. And then, I came out to that until I turned, I think I came out to that until I turned babyface towards the end of when I was working. And then I came back out to I Want You to Want Me again till the end. Why, what's the other one you have? What'd I forget?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you, and maybe I'm just remembering this poorly, but I swear, didn't you come out to David Lee Roth, Shy Boy at some point?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Jesus, man. Okay. I was am I losing my shit?
That was in Enfield, I think, right? I think in Enfield, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Oh.
Yeah, that and the Perry Farrell one really stuck with me for some reason. I'd seen other ones too, but those ones I was just like, oh man, these are great fucking songs.
Oh, it was great. I love coming out to that. And it's so funny, Bessie never got to see me be a heel. I was already people were cheering. I had to, cheering me, I want you to want me, yay! And I would come out and, I got this friend of mine who's a booker. He wanted me to wrestle one of his students out in Fall River area or something like that. And we went out and I came out to Hot Lava, that one. That was pretty cool. So you got to see that once, maybe a heel one time. That was fun.
I would have to find a song called I Want You to Stay the Hell Away from Me. That would be my entrance. Nobody was going to cheer that, I want them to want me.
Yeah, you do that. Skid Row, get the fuck out.
Yeah. I was on a show one time and I'm I don't know, this guy's going out, it's a match before mine. And the guy comes out to I Want You to Want Me, the Letters to Cleo version. I'm like, well, I guess I got to change my – I guess I'm coming out to something different tonight. I guess I got to, you know.
That's funny. Holy shit. Yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah, somebody else stealing your intro music.
Yeah, it's out there.
Oh man,
I've come out to the wrong song more times than I can count. Like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, like the music hits. What am I going to do? I'm going to throw a hissy fit. You got to play my song that nobody knows I come out to. You know, so
you're like the Lars Ulrich of wrestling. You just play whatever the hell you
whatever
you play
yeah.
and just you just yeah. go with it anyway.
Me coming out to the wrong song is not going to affect my, you know, my experience. And like, I'll be wrestling in a town I've never been at before. Nobody there knows who I am, you know. And I've seen guys actually throw fits, like they're in some small town in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God.
You know, they've never been there. They're never going to be back there. And like the wrong song hits, these guys throw fits. It's like, just go. I saw another guy one time, you know, the whole intro to A Number of the Beast, the whole thing,
sure.
the whole talking, oh, yeah. that whole
Woe
thing.
Woe to you, O Earth and Sea, for the devil sends the beast. Yeah, I can do it for you if you want, but I'll stop.
I kind of want you to, but we'll, another time. Another. But he, the whole, I mean, the whole thing until the da-da-da-da, the whole thing, and we're all standing there on a way too long show, and we got to watch this jackass wait 2 minutes before he can go through a curtain.
Oh,
I wanted to kill him. I wanted to twist his neck shut. I was like, oh my God. I want to go home. Just go to your match, and we want to go home.
Oh my God. Well, John, man, honestly, we could listen to these stories for hours and hours and hours, man. I mean, I feel like there's definitely a round two of this topic.
Oh, I love it.
We have to revisit it, man. This is too much fun.
I hope we didn't go too far off the rails.
No, God, no.
But this is where Eric and I turn heel right here.
Oh, well done,
it's time.
Turn heel.
Hey. Wow. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Well
it's done. Time for the ride, the lightning round.
Oh, crap. Like I said to you earlier, I say stupid crap when I'm not under pressure. So I'm going to, oh my God. Okay. But I get that. But I get to like justify, right? Later on. Yeah. Okay. All
oh
right.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So
you
yeah,
know how this
we got
goes.
10.
We'll revisit and...
yep. Okay. All right.
10 this or that choices for you to make. And this is the first for us. Actually, these will not be music-based choices you have to make. These are going to be wrestling-based.
Yeah, we're sticking with the theme for tonight.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're sticking with
the
theme for tonight.
I love it.
But yeah, we're going to go through as quick as we can, and then we'll come back at the end if you need to defend or explain any of your just horrible decisions you're about to make. Okay, Eric, are we ready?
Yeah, I'm going to let you kick this one off, too, because there's one in particular that I really want to do, and if you start, I'll get that one. So
okay, you got it, pal.
All right.
Okay, and here we go. Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock?
No. Austin. Okay. Austin. Sure.
Right out of the gate, dude.
Oh, my God. Wow. Dude.
All right. Here we go. Bobby the Brain Heenan or Paul Heyman?
Bobby.
Okay.
Paul
Heyman.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
He wants to justify it already. Yeah. We'll circle back.
Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair?
Ric Flair.
Rowdy Roddy Piper or Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
Oh, crap!
That might have been the one I had to do. It might have been it.
You son of a bitch. I'm going to say Piper. I don't know. I'll pay Piper, sure.
Okay. DX or NWO?
DX. I hate NWO. They can all burst into flames. Go.
Randy Macho Man Savage or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
Oh, you prick. that's Steamboat, I guess. Steamboat, sure.
All right.
Okay. The lovely Miss Elizabeth or Vicky Guerrero?
Elizabeth.
Roman Reigns or John Cena?
Oh, man. I'll say Cena.
Okay.
The topic here is The Undertaker. Mm. Biker or Dead Man?
Dead Man.
And finally, Bret the Hitman Hart or my favorite intro song of all time, Shawn Michaels?
Oh, no.
Montreal Screwjob.
This is the argument. You have any times I've had this conversation so many times.
That's the other one I really wanted to do too.
Oh, you prick. Shawn Michaels. Oh my God. Okay.
I love that it hurt. I'm exhausted. Yeah, it's no fun when people don't like squirm in their seat. You know what I mean? And I feel like we really did a good job tonight because that hurt. That was
Hogan
painful.
Flair was easy. Hogan Flair was easy.
There's a couple in there that weren't too bad. While
Hogan was going 14 minutes and then posing for another 14 minutes, Ric Flair was going to every territory, going an hour, 300 nights a week with the top babyface wherever he had to go.
And losing more blood than any human should actually be allowed.
Dude loved the blade. What was it? Savage and Steamboat? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Prick. Yeah. They're apples and oranges. They're so different. My God. Yeah. They're so different. That was really hard. I don't even know. I mean, I could say the other. Ask me tomorrow. Yeah. And Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. I don't know. I just said Shawn because that's really tough. That's really, really tough.
And you struggled with Roddy Piper and Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll tell you, when I was a kid, Snuka showed up and he'd already been to AWA and the islands and everywhere. He'd been around forever. And he just blew my mind. He was this jacked maniac, you know, and he was awesome. And I mean, I met him several times, got to work with him a couple times. And when I started wrestling, I thought, you know, I'm smaller. I'll kind of like be a high flyer thing. No. So I really kind of went towards the Roddy Piper style of wrestling later on, you know, not too long after. Any big move I learned how to do, there was four other people in the locker room that could do it better. So I just focused more on storytelling like Roddy Piper, I guess. But Snuka blew my mind. Yeah. Snuka blew my mind. It was awesome.
Well, that's always been for me, you know, again, with my limited knowledge of wrestling, I bow to the two of you, you know, way more than about wrestling than I do. But I always felt like, you know, when I would come see you, you know, wrestle, you know, I always felt, yeah, you were more of the Ric Flair or the Roddy Piper type, you know, yeah, not doing the high flying shit, but man, like just, you know, your charisma in the ring, the way you could tell a story, you didn't have to do all the crazy shit.
To be honest, I couldn't do it. I'm like an average, no, as far as like athleticism goes, I'm like an average, you know, average as far as my athleticism is. So you had to kind of focus on other things, you know, and
yeah.
I think I worked harder on throwing a punch than any other thing I did in wrestling. I worked on it forever because I hated the way wrestling punches looked. So I worked on it forever, you know?
Well, again, there's a parallel to music. You know, I've played a million gigs with drummers who are just infinitely better than me. And then at the end of the night, some, you know, half drunk schlub comes over to me and is like, dude, you are so much better than that other drummer. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. But
right.
I played the part, man. You know, when I was on stage, I played like I was playing in front of 50,000 people.
Of course. And I'd
beat the shit out of my drums and I'd twirl sticks and I would do all the things that shitty drummers do to look good. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, man, you play to your strengths and people buy it, man. But nothing wrong with that.
All right, Eric, we got a little time here for a couple of shout outs.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Then we got some personal shout outs today.
I'm excited for this, man. This is good stuff.
First one, I want to shout out Michelle from Phoenix. I met Michelle. I was staying at a hotel out in the Phoenix area recently on a trip, and I was walking around the hotel with my shirt with our podcast logo on it.
Sure.
You know, the mixtape. And she saw it. She worked there. She saw the logo and she's like, oh my God, I used to love mixtapes. And we just started talking. We had this great conversation. Two complete strangers about the joy of music and what it felt like to put a mixtape together and the hard work that went into it and all the thought behind it. And we just sat there vibing for like 15 minutes just talking about music.
That's so dope.
That's awesome.
It was just the coolest thing. So Michelle from Phoenix, you made my day. if I remember correctly, because we were just talking like nonstop, I'm pretty sure she dropped a Keith Sweat reference. Yes.
Wow.
Into the conversation. So that was impressive. Yeah. So thanks again, Michelle. And then Mark from Amherst, big fan of the show, really liked our episodes, and recently sent us an email with cover songs for us to check out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Which, yeah, is super cool. Lots of cool tracks. There was a couple that I kind of gravitated to, Eric. I don't know about you, but there was some power metal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Synchronicity 2, the Police song, covered by a band, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, called Angra.
Yeah, I wasn't terribly familiar with that one, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but it was a cool cover of the Police song.
Nice.
And then there was a cover of that, you know, that, remember the song from the Proclaimers, that 500 miles?
I would walk 500.
Yeah.
You're welcome for everybody who now has it stuck in your head, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. Have a good evening.
That's kind of one of my guilty pleasures anyway. So yeah, it's fine.
Sure. Yeah.
But it was a cover by a guy named Tommy Johansson, who's from the band Sabaton.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
So it's like a power metal poppy kind of cover of that song from the Proclaimers that were pretty cool.
That's great.
So anyways, just, hey, Mark from Amherst, we appreciate it. Wanted to shout you out and say thanks for listening and thanks for sending along new stuff for us to check out.
And keep sending them, man. Yeah, please don't stop. We love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Then finally, just real quick shout out to Sports Illustrated Tickets.
Yeah.
Recently hooked me up with some kick-ass seats to see AC/DC up in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. Just an amazing night, killer show. So my buddy Joe over at Sports Illustrated Tickets, thanks, brother, appreciate it. All right, there we go. If you get a chance, if you listen to the podcast, you like the podcast, rate us, review us, subscribe, follow us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. But yeah, that's it, Eric. What do you think?
I think this was one of the most fun episodes we've had in a long time. I mean, we always have a great time, but John, this has been...
Thanks,
John,
man.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. I had a great time.
John, yeah, John. This was a blast.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks, absolutely. Man. And John, your podcast is still alive and kicking, right?
We took some time off. We literally were just talking about bringing it back. It's going to be I don't think it's going to be terribly different, just more. Our favorite thing we always did was that we just did some stupid game, and I think we're just going to do that every episode.
Nice.
We're just going to start doing that. I do it with my lovely partner and everything that is my life, Bessie, over here. And
I think the proper term is your much better half.
Oh, clearly, yeah. She's the funniest person I know, and we have a great time, and I can't wait to get back into it.
Absolutely. And it's cool. Called?
Cool.
Idol Chat, IDOL Chat. How was that not taken, by the way?
I don't know.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again, dude, for hanging out, man. This is a lot of fun.
You guys are awesome. I loved it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks,
yeah, John, this was great, man.
All right. Well, on that note, that is going to wrap it up for us. Thank you so much for hanging out. Once again, John, thank you. And this is the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I am Mac.
And we will talk to you again real soon.
See ya.